590 FM.
Fan Morning Show, Sports FM 9 of the Fan. I'm JD Bunkus, alias Forfar. About to talk to Matthew Barnaby. Guy's back. His podcast, Unfiltered. First episode's up. It's back. It's everywhere. 15 years in the show. Again, the podcast is back. You can pre-order his book out on Amazon right now. You can get the Kindle version. You can get the hard copy version by the same name, Unfiltered. It's right now. It's Matthew Barnaby. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, it's first guy to write a book that hasn't read one in about 25 years. So, yeah, it's pretty impressive.
I like to picture you in front of the typewriter, you know, with like glasses and a little corncob pipe. You're like, no.
You want to know how behind the times I am? It would have taken me 7 years to write it if I had to use a computer. So it's actually all written out in pencil and pen.
Yeah. No way.
I was just gonna say, yeah.
Wrists are probably broken.
Yeah, I swear to God on my life that I am going to have a frame when the book comes out with all the loose papers and books that I wrote in when it comes out. Yeah, I'm so slow with a computer. It's like one finger at a time.
Okay, so I have two things for you quickly before we jump into this series and what happened last night. Number one is just this, it's breaking news right now. Brooks Koepka is left for LIV Tour. And I know you're like a sneaky LIV Tour guy. Like, I see you tweeting about it and you're like, oh, LIV Tour, it's going to go down. So you're like a believer in this. And I think this is happening too. Like, the guys let Phil take the heat. Phil said the Khashoggi line, like the biggest Dumbo of all time. And then he's like, calls them bad guys, which is insane because they're such bad guys and they're so powerful in Saudi, like, that they don't even care that Phil said that. Like, they're like, yeah, whatever. You still get your 200 mil, Phil. It's fine. Like, you brought us the worst possible press for a month and it's cool. Don't sweat it, buddy. Here's your 200 mil. Like, they do not care at all. That news that Phil said those things never reached the desk of the dudes who were paying him. They never had an idea. Those guys have a completely different news stream heading into them, and it's like, we're great. We're great news. We're great news again today. Wow. Unbelievable. But yeah, so, and then they get the heat of DJ being the first, like, star guy that goes, but I don't even think DJ, like, I don't think DJ is all there. I don't think that he's all there upstairs. I don't think he knows what's going on either. Now we're getting, like, Brooks Koepka cares about his image. He went and, like, actually tried to do that thing with Bryson, and he wanted to get that bag of money from the PGA about being the most searched golfer. Like, that's a real domino, buddy. Like, and if they're going to get to play all the majors and Augusta lets them show up, it's just, I don't know. Like, I don't know what this becomes.
I'm a believer in capitalism, and if they can make as much money as they can, listen, if I was offered $150 million to go over to the LIV Tour and I'm only guaranteed to play in PGA Tour events, I don't care. I'm gone. Listen, I don't believe in their politics and what they believe in. That's not it. This is a business decision to set up your family, your kids' family, for the rest of their lives. Like, it's a no-brainer. We stop calling it the LIV Tour. It's the villain tour. All the guys that are going over besides Lefty are guys that aren't really liked that much. DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, DJ is, but you're right. DJ can't even mutter a sentence and understand it half the time, whether he wins or loses. So, yeah, this is for real. And I said it last week. Once the U.S. Open finishes, there's more guys going to jump ship. It's just the reality. It's the reality of the world we live in. This is guaranteed money. But Phil, yeah, you took the heat for everyone, buddy.
Yeah, no, Phil, it's like, Phil is all-time weird now, too. Him at the Open, where he's walking around like a ghoul with his slick back hair and his all-black look, I'm like, what's happening here, man? He looks like he just got cleaned out in a divorce, like, and that he's just, he is not doing so hot. Like, all that money just, yeah, he went full supervillain with it. It's almost like those guys are telling him what he's got to do for attention. I'm with you. I think guys leave, And I think that the dudes that stay on the PGA Tour, they try to play up the, like, we're high and mighty and pious. But it's kind of funny because it's like, oh, yeah, no, golf is definitely that sport, right? Like, the Masters is always so funny every year whenever they're just like, and then, yeah, we don't look into our history and how recent all the things were that we do here. But, yeah, no, it's totally fine. We're actually all the bastion of morality. But anyways, I think it's going to be big. Okay, so other thing I have for you about this is that I got to talk to Peter Forsberg last week. We did an interview with him, and it was cool. It was one of those interviews where I was like, holy crap. You revert back to a little bit of like your boyhood self when you're talking to a guy like Forsberg, right? You're thinking, I remember what it was like to watch him, and not only that, but how it was like, that's the kind of interview where if I make a mistake and he hangs up on me, it's like, that's my career, right? Like, they're like, aren't you the guy that Peter Forsberg? And you're like, yeah. Yeah, I'm that guy, and you have to live in shame. But, yeah, you joined that Colorado team in 04, and you actually had a really good run with them. I was looking at your stats when you went joining Colorado. I don't know if they were just, like, what they were doing. I guess, like, nobody paid attention to you because that team was so stacked, so you just racked up the numbers. But can you remember the level of respect the league had for him and Sakic at that time? Like, you go to that team and what you thought when you first, like, actually are in the dressing room and being, like, a part of that group with all those Hall of Famers, but specifically, like, that guy.
Yeah, if I hang up on you, you're going to get a raise. Sportsnet's going to be like, all right, yeah, baby, here we go.
The people are going to be like, nice one, Bunk, way to get him. Like, that's right.
You got punked. Listen, when I got traded to that team, I played 15 years, and I get asked all the, you know, do you regret not winning a Stanley Cup? I don't regret it. I tried to win a Stanley Cup on every team that I played with. The reality is,
you should have just done it. You should have opted in for Cup. You should have circled the box that was like, do you want the Cup?
I circled it, but I still would have taken the money over the Cup if you gave me the choice. I would have been the original live tour of the NHL. when I got traded to Colorado, it was the first time in my career I really believed I had a great opportunity to win the Cup. I was like, huh, I'm getting a ring. Like, I'm getting a ring. We got Solani and Correa and Forsberg and Sakic. And Sakic is such a great leader. If I had to circle anything, I looked at, you know, David Abisher as our goalie, and I'm not blaming him whatsoever. He wasn't bad at all.
No, true,
but
though,
you need a guy to steal games. You know, you need a guy to steal games. Maybe Colorado doesn't. They haven't had a guy steal games, but if Tampa's going to win the series, they're going to need Vasilevsky. But going back to your original question, Peter Forsberg is amazing, an amazing person, an amazing guy, humble, so talented, and he's like a chameleon. He can beat you with skill. He initiated contact as a star back then, and you didn't see that very often. You know, we see Ovechkin, we see Crosby, we see guys that initiate contact now, but back in the day it was a different era, and guys were massive. Guys tried to hurt you, and Peter Forsberg was like one of those stars at his size because he wasn't massive like Eric Lindros, but he initiated contact, and just, you know, with the injuries he had to deal with, but his level of consistency and just star power. But what I remember about that team the most was how great a locker room it was. Like, from Rob Blake and Adam Foote and the guys I just mentioned, it was a veteran-laden team, but just awesome, awesome guys that worked really hard, held each other accountable, and unfortunately we weren't able to bring a cup home. But it was one of the highlights of my career going to play there. And I had a chance to re-sign with them. I was married at the time, and they didn't want to be on the West Coast. And I chose Chicago, which really turned into a really bad decision. So, yeah. And then I got divorced. So, yeah, it was a double whammy.
I was going to say, they're not hanging your jersey in the rafters in Chicago. Like, it's just not going
down. And it's okay, because it was number 38, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, I guess this kind of leads into one of the other things, though. And again, like, we're gonna get in the series, and I want to touch on what you said about the goaltending, because Kemper, like, yesterday was a wake up call of just, hey, right. And Vasilevsky hasn't looked quite like Vasilevsky in the series, but you talk about being with that team, and one of the things that I always thought was a little underrated when it comes to, like, Colorado being Colorado was, like, obviously they inherited all these studs, right? Like, they take that Nordiques team, and it's just like the foundation was insane. Like, we were looking back on it, even at the, like, looking at those rosters, prepping for those interviews, and you're reminded that they traded Matt Sundin's entire career for 1 year of Wendell Clark. Like, oh my God, could you imagine Sundin also on that team? Like, could have been there. But it's just like, Colorado is this place that people really love living in. And now they've got this team, and they've got this crazy arena, and there's all these free agents that are coming up. They have the right guy with McKinnon who's saying that he's going to take less money. Like, I wonder if you think that they're going to be able to keep this together a little bit more, or like that there's a bit more of an advantage to living in Colorado than we talk about really as like hockey fans.
I do. I think, well, people love it. Listen, I loved living in Denver. It's absolutely beautiful and a great, great way of life. And you're in the spotlight, but you're not in the spotlight, and you can kind of have your own private time. Listen, everyone's going to, I think you take pay cuts to have great teams, and I really respect that. And, you know, when you're talking about the kind of money, like, what's a million less when you're talking about taxes and that, when you're talking about that threshold, right? But it's not going to be the same thing as a Tampa Bay or what they're able to do in Dallas where there's no state tax. You still have state taxes in a place like Denver. But I do believe those guys are willing. And the thing is, they're young. Like, it's a young team. And when you have a guy on the back end like Cale Makar, you know, I think he has the right – you know, they're all going to make big money. They're not going to be hurting. They're not going to be eating cat food, wondering where their next meal is going to come from in 10 years when they retire. But I do believe that these guys will try to keep the band together for as long as they can. And in a cap world, that's very, very, very hard to do.
Talking about keeping the team together, how much did you think that last night's experience in terms of Tampa being able to respond, having that confidence level, comes from their time being back-to-back Stanley Cup champs? And do we have a series now with the way that they can just control, having no pressure on them, it seems?
It's massive. I think any time in any realm of life, but especially sports, you know, I think past experiences just lead you to make, you know, your next decision in life. And in sports, you're able to draw on those in the past. They know the series wasn't over. They hadn't lost at home, and they have been incredible at home. I think 9-7-1 or 8-1 at home, and their save percentage with Vasilevsky has been like 947. So they've done it before. They've been there before. They can go back to the series before against the New York Rangers where they were down 2-0 and draw from those experiences. Now, Colorado certainly is a different beast, but those guys are so used to winning, and to win two in a row to tie up the series is absolutely nothing for them. So I think those guys drew upon those experiences. They know what they have in Vasilevsky. He wasn't great in games 1 and 2. And you just know that the best goaltender in the world, and that's Andre Vasilevsky, is going to have a big night. And I think, you know, the call that was called back on the offside goal helped them. And a couple of those saves early from Vasilevsky was one of those that you just know was going to happen. So past experiences, the veteran-laden group and the stars that they have, everything aligned. And now they're just down by one and can tie it up in game 4.
Yeah, we were just talking about like Ross Colton doing the 2-1 thing, like the 2-1 flash to them. And I went, that's the biggest stunt. Because you're telling the other team, like, you're so good that being down in a series is a brag. You're like, we're down, but you know we're not out. And I thought, boy, like, who else would ever do that, right? Like, when you say scoreboard, it's supposed to be, yeah, because we're whooping your ass. You don't do scoreboard when you're down. And that's what he did. He did series scoreboard because they're down. And I felt like an idiot because I was like, oh, man, I think Colorado might wrap this up way sooner than I think. And, like, Colorado could go out there and win game 4, obviously. Like, I don't think that the series tilted in some massive way or that Colorado still isn't even the better team. But, yeah, I just – the resolve of that group and just kind of the way that they were able to play desperate hockey last night, I continue to be impressed by them. And that kind of gets me to the next thing, which is like, how much of this is just like when they get Kucherov engaged at his highest level of play is like, that's the Lightning, versus when they don't get the best version of Kucherov as the guy that gets like no shots in the last game, sort of checks out when the score goes bad. Like that's the identity of the Lightning is, I feel like in a weird way, he's almost underrated on his own team because we love to talk about Hedman. And now we've had the Stamkos year and Vasilevsky and the depth and all this different stuff. But like last night, he was just nasty.
He was nasty. And then both teams have laid an egg through 3 games. Right. So, you know, Kucherov is like when he's playing like last night, it's the easy does it with. It's a lot of guys can play, and I always say Crosby, you know, he's such a hard worker for being a star. He has that fourth line grinder mentality, but he's an absolute star. Kucherov's just a star. And some days, you know, it doesn't work out like it did in game two. It just, you know, Colorado was so damn good. Their back pressure was so good. Their forecheck, everything was just unbelievable, and they looked so fast. But Kucherov last night, we see it so often, and the plays he makes with such ease, the saucer passes through holes, over sticks, the pass he makes on his backhand to Stamkos is ridiculous. Like, very few people in the NHL, in the world, make that play, and he does it with such ease. So when he has it going last night, when he's feeling it, listen, this team is amazing. I don't think they win 4 out of 5 against Colorado. I don't think there's a team ever that beats Colorado 4 out of 5 games. I think they're that good. But we'd be naive to think that this series was over completely and that Tampa wasn't going to play their best game of the series in game 3.
And not only are they getting a game like they did last night with their all-stars, but you're just seeing a consistent impact from someone like a Corey Perry. And we talked about him a little earlier in the show, and JD, huge Corey Perry fan, especially with how he's been able to have cup final goals with 4 consecutive teams. It's pretty admirable. What do you like most about his style of play, whether it's the grittiness, the consistent production, and just the way that he's been able to do this for some longevity?
I'd go grittiness and experience. You know, you always see teams trade or try to sign guys that have been there when they know when the pressure amounts to the highest level that they aren't going to panic, that they've been there before. And again, drawing on past experiences. So the grittiness, so when he's there and you see him, you know, pushing at Darcy Kemper the game before when they're getting blown out, trying to get guys pissed off at him to worry more about him than the other guys. And you look at a guy like Nicky Paul who gets hurt, a guy that I know very well that trains with my son in the summer. Just the addition of a guy like him who was awesome in Ottawa, who Ottawa should have never let go, goes in there, scores a big goal, really hobbling around the ice, and he's had 5 throughout the playoffs and had the 2 series-clinching goals against the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, just the additions that they've brought in, the character guys, and, you know, you need your stars. You can't win without your stars, and Stamkos has to be great. A Braden Point when he's in the lineup, and he hasn't even been there for most of it. He has to be great. We know that Kucherov, we know that Hedman, they have to be great to win. But you also need your role players because, you know, there's great players on the other side, and they count on their role players. And when, you know, you're able to put those guys out in late in games or in the third period, and they come up big. We saw it in the Colorado in game 2. Well, we saw it with Nicky Paul in game 3 and then game 7 against the Leafs. So I think those additional character guys are so massive. And that's what teams are built around. You need a complete team. This isn't the NBA where 2 or 3 guys win you a championship. You truly need everyone in that lineup.
Yeah, I can't get over that Corey Perry has done what he's done in the last 3 playoffs and was just like, oh yeah, like he just has to sign on with Montreal. Barely,
yeah.
You know, like barely gets on that. Apparently word is Toronto overlooked him, didn't sign him. And then he goes to Tampa. It's like, he had 20 goals this year. Like he had 20 goals.
Yeah.
It's Corey Perry. And just some things that he does, like he's still on that power play with those guys, right? Like he's not just some rat of a player. Like he does everything. I like the nickname Worm is one of the, like, it's so good. I don't know about how he's turned, like, I saw a post where they were like, it's Worm and Little Worm, like, with his son. I was like, I don't know if you want to put the brand of Little Worm on your boy. I feel like if I was growing up, I'd be like, yeah, I don't want to be Little Worm. I don't want to start off with that one. But everything else is just, I think the guy is incredible. Like, honestly, I just think that it's nuts the way that this ended up transpiring, that this guy who every year – every person on the planet watched him with Anaheim year over year over year and was like, that's like the perfect guy you want to have on a winning team. And then the end of his career, people were just like, yeah, no. Like, go down and look at the lineups and look at some of the other guys that got veteran minimum deals or whatever and or close to it and check out the impact that they were giving their teams versus Corey Perry. Like, it's wild. Wild.
Yeah, Little Worm, and I have a good friend. His name's Munch, and it's short for Munchkin. I don't know if those are two things you want. Go through life. It might
that
be
better not be me,
girlfriend.
By the way. You better not be like, that's actually what I call you behind your back, because be choked.
As they say in Seinfeld, the cat is meow out of the bag. Corey Perry scoring 20, and you see him on the power play. Like, he's slowed down. You know, he's never been an elite skater at his size, but you can go back to every place he's been, go back to the London Knights, go back to Anaheim. You stick Corey Perry in front of the net on the power play. All he has to do is move a couple feet, and he's super smart. He's super big, and he's got great hand-eye coordination. And lastly, he's going to compete as hard as anyone, if not more than anyone he's going to play against. So that's why he's so good, is just his compete level is off the charts.
Yeah, it's like we have to be told this lesson every single year, but it's like, yeah, guess what? Getting guys who really care is pretty good come this time of year, it seems. Matthew Barnaby, again, 15 years in the NHL, and you can read about them if you go buy his upcoming book, Unfiltered. It's on Amazon. You just Google it, search it, whatever. You find it. Good price. I know it's going to be great. You can read all of like the scribbled down notes, like organized by professional. You know, don't worry. It's not just in the note form anymore. Professional worked on it, actually one of the best. But yeah, Matthew Barnaby, and again, go listen to the podcast Unfiltered. It's back. Thanks for making time, buddy. Always appreciate it.
I apologize I didn't hang up for all the listeners and your bosses. Looks like your salaries are staying the same, guys.
Sorry, buddy. Thanks.
Wow. Cheers.
Thanks, man. See you, pal. Matthew Barnaby. And again, that Insider has been brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. I've always admired Corey Perry's game. He's always been one of my favorite players. Like, and guys who can agitate but also score and carry a team. Like, I don't know. That to me is like, that's the definition of a hockey player. Like, when I think about Corey Perry's career, like, that's what I'm going to think about. And yeah, I actually did think that's one of the places where they still have an advantage. Mm-hmm. Is Colorado's faster. They've got more depth at forward overall. They're more dangerous, but that veteran experience that Tampa has is just, it's scary in those big moments. Like, I think Corey Perry can get guys off his game. He can still get to the front of the net. He can still just get draw a penalty. Like, he can get you to play dumb. I love it.
Kind of like Nazem Kadri, who was back on the ice practicing. You saw some video clips of him sticking, and I was like, he looked pretty good. I don't know. Maybe we'll see.
It's not out
of the realm of possibilities.
Here's what I'll tell you. I hope so, because for, like, again, I think that Naz is gone. He's not going to be able to re-sign in Colorado. He's going to have to go get the bag. He's a little bit of an older player. They're probably going to prioritize other guys over giving him his contract. And, yeah, this is a real chance for him to win a Stanley Cup. And, of course, he'll always feel a sense of accomplishment by being on the team. And he deserves a ring and will get a ring if they end up winning and all that stuff, right? Like, he contributed massively for them all season long and in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But I have to imagine for a guy that's as competitive as he is, who's had as many knocks as he's had, who's been traded, who's had all these things, getting to actually play on this stage and get that moment. I want that for Nazem Kadri. All of Toronto wants that for Nazem Kadri. Like, I think that we're all pulling for him to at least be able to get into a game, even if it is, honestly. Like, he could look to Steven Stamkos and be like, hey, get out there for a shift and score that goal, remember, in the bubble, and back out there. We got to take a break, but it's next is the Wake and Rake brought to you by Unibet. Ailish is back, and we will give you our discussion on who you think is going to be winning.
Wing Sanity.
The Wing Sanity with St. Louis Bar and Grill tonight when we do our Wing Sanity, our chicken wing off. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, The Wake and Rake, brought to you by Unibet.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With JD, Blake, and Ailish.
Gotta say, much better Wake and Rake intro from our boy Josh Santos. It is the Wake and Rake Shout out to him. Shout out to him doing a good job. And shout out to Unibet. Because the Wake and Rake is brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. Yesterday we go 2-0. Sam doesn't count. Sam doesn't. Yeah, like I'm sorry, Sam, but like he didn't even know the Friday that he needed to do a best bet, and he was just like,
just
"Oh,
panicked,
I picked
one or what?"
Ailish, this is his resume, okay? I'm on the Wake and Rake, Sam McKee, all time. Never back this guy unless it's golf. Like he does great in golf pools. He's a great golf gambler. He does a lot of although he's never given me a pick to save his life. It's always so funny. He always gives, I go, what are the picks for this weekend? And I'll ask him questions, and then he gives me his picks and he goes, I think there's good value here. There's good value here. And then on Sunday, he'll be like, wow, I actually have this guy. And I go, where was this before? This wasn't on the list. He's a classic, like, I gives you a different guy and then bets a different guy.
Kind of shady, because maybe he just doesn't want you to win money.
I don't know what his deal is, but his Wake and Rake summary was, he said he liked Tampa Bay and the under in Saturday night's
game. Oh, my God.
And they lost 7-0.
That's gross.
So not only went over, it only went over by one team. He got skunked. And then he asked for... last night, Jose Berríos to have over 5.5 strikeouts. He had one. Blake and I walked our way to some wins. My guy, Shane McClanahan, just, you know, doing his thing over and over and over again. Made the Yankees look like just a normal baseball team. And then Gerrit Cole did Gerrit Cole things. The Yankees continue to be the Yankees. It's annoying. It is what it is. But at least I don't. It's going to be – we're going to get to the Jays here in a second. But it's going to be really annoying this year with the state of the Rays. If they whoop ass on the Blue Jays. Like, if they whoop up on the Blue Jays when Toronto faces them this year, they go down to the Trop and it's more Trop nightmares, then it's officially like, oh, there's just nothing you can do. Like, there's just, hey, like, don't even play these games in the future. Don't even go to the Trop. Just give the Jays 1-2, okay? Well, would you sign up for that? Like, we'll take 1-2 in the series to not have to go down to the Trop. This has to be the year they beat these guys. They can't hit, Blake. Like they cannot hit. You got to turn your mic on. That's how this works on radio. You got to be like, hey, I got a mic, and I turn it on, and that's how it works.
Yeah, that, see, I have my own couple shows now, and they do that for me. I have someone who comes in, presses the mic on button when I'm ready to talk, presses the mic off, but clears my throat for me.
Rubs your back, gives you a little shoulder rub, tells you you're your daddy's number one candy baby. Yeah, it's all good.
Brings me a wing at each break so I get to get my total up for later.
Wings.
Yeah, but no, what the Rays are going to do that's going to be even more infuriating is they're going to trade for a handful of guys you've never heard of at the trade deadline, and they're all going to be Matt Carpenter on the Yankees for the rest of the season. This is how it goes for the Rays. They have no money to pay for guys, but they will give these good prospects who suddenly suck when they go elsewhere. I don't know. They're magic. It's very annoying. And then you also have to worry about the Red Sox now if you're the Jays, because they look really good again.
Yeah, no. And the Red Sox, you want to talk about the worst part about the Red Sox thing? Not only are they really good again, they're going to be direct competition with the Blue Jays for bullpen arms.
Yep.
They're going to be every arm that the Jays are going to be interested in, the Red Sox are going to go, we would also like that guy. And
plus
guess $1.
Who
Exactly. They're just they're going to be the guy at the auction league that's like, you know who they're going to be? Remember that show Storage Wars? Remember that guy Dave? Yup. That's the Red Sox, okay? They're Rich Dave at the lockers, yupping their way into probably more relief pitching than the Toronto Blue Jays. Infuriating. Okay. We'll get back into the Jays in a second, but we're heading down to St. Louis Bar and Grill tonight.
Hey, wait a second. We're going to big up Shane McClanahan and my guy, JT Brubaker. We got to give him some love here. He finally gets a win.
He's a hard luck.
The hard luck 0-7 is now a hard luck 1-7.
Yes, the hard luck 1-7. Yes, Brubaker. Who knew? The hard
what
luck,
a performance. Six shutouts.
Hard luck 0-7 is – I honestly think that's the funniest thing that's been said on this show. Like, we've done a year of this now, and that's the funniest thing anybody's ever said on this show. It's actually – like, I – when I saw the box score later, I genuinely laughed and was like, hard luck. Like, I'm not – like, that's just that guy's brand forever to me. Like, he's always going to be, oh, do you know JT Brubaker? I'm going to be like, yeah, hard luck guy. He's a hard luck guy. He's never having a good time. Okay, so we're heading down to St. Louis Bar and Grill tonight. We're doing Wing Sanity, which is like we're going to – and just try to pile drive as many wings into our faces as we can, or our face holes. I said, okay, is this a hot take or not? Because we have to set the lines here. I actually think Ailish is the favorite.
That's so inaccurate. I just came from a weekend where I gorged myself, where I feel like a slug and a disgusting human.
You're warmed up.
I'm not excited to also add to that. I said, okay, I'm back. The diet starts. Yeah. Boom. Back into, we're in wing sanity, which is all you can eat for $23.99.
Here's
plus, hold on, it comes with golden fries and wings, so you're getting fries too. Gonna fill me up a bit.
Here's the thing: if it's unlimited wings, I ain't touching a fry. All right.
Here's what outweighs.
Oh, and we'll give you fries. Like, what else are you gonna give me? Like, free, just like filler. Like, you, no chance. Like, no way. Like, I'm here for wing sanity, not golden fry sanity.
Okay,
all right?
we'll eliminate fries from the equation.
So here's the thing, Ailish, is you could say all that stuff, but first of all, we know from the loony dog thing you could pack it in. We know from your weekend you could pack it in. If anyone's ever gone to an all-you-can-eat buffet, you know the strategy is not to starve yourself beforehand. It's to keep the stomach stretched out. Eat small meals throughout the day. Ailish, you just spent a whole weekend. This is like post-activation potentiation here. This is like your morning bag skate ahead of a game. You got the stomach ready. But more important than any of that, you are maniacally competitive. I can see you throwing up and being like, no, one more wing to beat JD.
I'm not worried about beating JD because he's soft. It's me versus you, I think.
I've had wings with JD before.
But you also often talk about how you go for wings with the boys. So you know, like, we know that you have a strategy, I'm sure. You like your wings.
Well, those aren't competitions. Those are just having fun with my friends and eating some good food at St. Louis.
I got to tell you, it's JD's soft and just counting me out of the race now is... I'm now entering the race, you know, like I'm now stretching it out. Like I'm getting ready. Here's my thing is that I don't like, this is really, I don't know how I'm going to navigate this one, but yes, like you're probably right that I would say that I have the longest odds to win. Like, I think that that's the case.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, so the over under though is a very important thing to set. Is it,
I don't really know. Well, there's 10 wings in a pound.
10 wings in a pound. Okay. There's 29 different flavors that we can choose. Plus, there are, you can go with dusted, original, or boneless. I think boneless is cheating a bit.
Boneless?
That's a chicken nugget. It's not nugget sanity.
Yeah, like, chicken wings have bones, okay? And I don't want to, and like, if you like chicken whatever tenders more than you like chicken wings, that's fine. You're just not an adult, and also no one wants to hear your opinion on the matter. Like, no one who likes chicken wings ever wants to hear from the boneless crowd, okay? Like, you guys are yelling into the void. Number two, if you get any wing flavor other than hot, I don't respect you, period. Like, it's just, there's one flavor. If you get different variations of hot,
like buffalo,
cool, great. Yeah, that's a variation of hot.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like,
you
can have the odd little treat of lemon pepper wing, I think, is like that, because ever since Lou Williams, you know, lemon pepper Lou, like that was like that made. But outside of that, it's like if you eat honey garlic wings, I don't respect you. Like, that's just fact. Like, I think you want to talk about soft. I don't even know how a person, like, imagine being married to someone. You wake up and in the bed and you see a person across from you and you, like, they eat honey garlic wings. It's like, I don't know how, I don't know how you stay.
Jeremy from Scarborough asked, do you eat the wing to the bone or leave meat on it? It is important for the competition.
Listen, I'm not a psycho people. I'm not one of those, like, psychos who literally leaves it, like, you know, vulture.
Like a raccoon in the garbage.
Like, it doesn't look like it's been bones in the desert forever. There's always a little bit of, like, cartilage hanging around. But no, I'm not going to be wasteful for the wing just because it's unlimited. Like, I still have... I'm a man of principle here. Like, if I'm not leaving, like, half-eaten wings here. I think that it's like, you know it if you see it, right? It's a you know it if you see it. If you're the type of person, though, also, that's like, there's still bone on the wing, or like, it's like, it's a weird hardo move that people do.
We will lightly referee
apples.
We will lightly referee it.
Like, there's people like that with apples where they're like, there's lots of good apple there. It's like, I don't want to eat the core, okay? Like, if there's a tiny little bit of apple there, it's fine. I'm not going to scrape my teeth on the bone of the wing to make sure I get the last little piece of it.
Okay.
Blake, I feel like you're mad at me now because I think that you're like a honey garlic guy all of a sudden. Like, I'm just like, oops.
Oh, I mean, I dabble with a honey garlic if I'm like going to a place and I've tried that. Like, look, it's one of those things where if I'm trying a place for a new time or going for volume, like, you got to go buffalo wing or hot wing to evaluate across. Like, it doesn't matter if you do a good honey garlic if you don't do a good standard wing. So that's one thing. And then if I'm going for volume, yes, I think it's a little – it would be a little cheap to go with the sugary, lighter wing in a honey garlic. I'll go buffalo.
What's your go-to?
Yeah, no, I like a buffalo. Authentic buffalo is a flavor we can select tonight, and I will be selecting that one. And I will be selecting original.
I'll try their different versions of hot.
I'll be selecting original. I don't know about dusted, just original wings.
I like a dry.
Okay.
I like a saucy and I like a dry. I just like hot.
You can mix them in.
It's like hot is hot. It's like love is love, you know? Like a hot wing is a hot wing. I don't have like I need it to be saucy. Sometimes I like a saucy wing. Sometimes I like a dry rub
wing. I think saucy will help, you know, let them slide down the gullet easier 100%. When we're pounding 3 pounds. Speaking of, let's set an over-under, guys, because then the people can text in the next 20 minutes on their selections.
Well, I'm going to do it as a number. I'm going to set my number at...
We don't all have the same number?
No, I'm going to set my personal number at 23.5. If I can get over 2 pounds in that one sitting, because I'm going to drink beer too. This is the like another advantage that you have on me with your competitiveness is like, I know I'm going to drink beer. Like,
okay,
it's going to happen.
I'm also going to drink beer. I'm not going to cheat and like...
Again, I don't
only
trust
have
you.
Water.
You're maniacally competitive, Ailish. Everything you say is I'm like... Whatever you say, Ailish. Like whatever. I think you're gonna show up there. You're gonna have a Canadian. You're gonna have a member of the Canadian Women's Olympic team in your corner.
You know I'm gonna wear stretchy like, pants.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna be all fired up. You're gonna have
unfolds done her own music. Bib from a special case, like that pool shark who has his own cue. Yeah.
That's right.
No, I
like 23.5 for me as well. Let's just sit 23.5 as our over under.
Okay,
that's like an appropriate amount.
I will safely go over that.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. That was honestly, that felt like Larry Bird at the 3-point competition. Like, who's finishing second line? Was I'll go safely over that? That was intimidating. My knees just buckled and I like clacked them together so hard. I'm surprised it didn't pick up on the mic. That was an intimidating. And he like looked off into the distance as he said it,
like,
too.
No
like,
problem.
If you guys could see, like, he just like he casually tilted his head, looked off into the distance, was like, I will comfortably go over that. Okay.
Dave
all right.
from Barrie just texted in. I work What's at St. Louis, and you have to try What's the chili Dave? Lime.
No.
Dave. Also, three people have texted in asking
You're
about
fired from there now,
honey
Dave.
Hot, a mix between garlic, honey garlic and hot. Three people have
God,
asked about that.
Grow up.
It is a good wing, but if you're going for, I feel like you have to kind of standardize the playing field here, and there's only a few acceptable ways to go. If we're framing it as actual competition.
I'm not trying to say that, like, I'm some hardo who goes and does hot ones, you know? Like, I'm not, like my dad was crazy. He could actually, like, he
like
actually wanted...
the ones you have to sign, like, an actual, like, piece of paper that you can't sue.
My dad was straight up disgusting with hot sauce. Like, like, he would get the spiciest ones. Like, he was one of those dudes that was like, I need to have the crazy suicide version of it. And he'd sit there and have, like, a chicken wing. Like, he'd eat wings, and it would be, like... You'd see him just like turn red and sweating, but like actually
that can't
enjoy
be enjoyable.
It.
No.
No, it was. He loved it. I watched him do it my whole life. It wasn't like a stunt. He's doing it with like his son. He did it in private. Like, he had insane amount of hot sauces. Like, he loved it. It was like an easy gift for him. But the problem was, is like, you'd get him hot sauces and they were never hot enough. Like, I think that he just like ruined his mouth, and he was like, you know how there's people with COVID that like spicy foods now because they lost their taste? I think that was just my dad. Like, I think he was just trying to feel something because he just like ate the grossest spicy food ever. And I like, I'm not that. I cannot handle the hottest. Like, the suicide stuff to me is like, you're trying too hard. But yeah, I think if you eat the sweet wings, you're a sweet wing, okay? Like, you know, like, I think you're soft.
I'm okay with that. I'm not for something like Wing Sanity, but in general, I don't mind a sweet wing.
Okay, so we have Tim from Newmarket saying, I could have 24 wings for breakfast. We have JD chokes on wing 22. Ailish gives him the Heimlich. Blake keeps eating. And then we have under 23.5 for everyone because you start with 10 wings plus fries, then it's 5 at a time.
Oh, that doesn't matter. I'll be like, first of all, we're not like you regulars out there, okay? Like, we're getting them doled out the way we want them doled out, all right? That's the way. And also, I'm I need to tell you this right now. Like, there's a, if I want to eat more than 20 wings, like, that's happening. Like, I've sat down at my favorite establishments, I eat 20 wings, but I do feel pretty sick after I eat the 20 wings. Like, I don't feel great. So that's why the number is where it is. Like, I just feel like that's where I start to go into like uncharted territory of wings. Like, 20 is my number. Like, that's where, so it's like, I'm not trying to get overly aggressive with it.
Okay. Well, I think the loser has to pay. So.
Okay, sure. I agree to those terms.
Now I'm competitive.
Yeah, having printed something off that's already in my backpack, I'm fine with paying.
All right.
And, and if you lose, Blake, if you lose, you go ahead and pay. JD and I are going out again Wednesday.
Yeah, I was like, okay. Yeah, you got to pay.
Love it. So stay tuned. I have to post lots of socials. So look at our Instagram. We have, we'll have lots of fun. You can do some maybe some live betting while we're on it. That's today, the Wing Sanity Competition. One more thing I wanted to throw in there is the Hart Trophy awarded tonight. You can get your last
for wings?
Yes, you can get your last-minute bets for today's announcement. Matthews, minus 670 on Unibet. McDavid, plus 450. Still some sneaky value maybe there. Yeah. And Shesterkin, plus 3,500. That's awarded tonight.
I got to tell you, if you have
the hard part with the bets being out is that, like, people very well could have revealed their ballots by now.
Yeah, and this is the thing.
It's a tough one. Like, I have a standing Matthews bet from a while ago at plus 440. That feels really nice tonight, but I don't think I would bet today with any level of confidence because they know. Like, I would imagine Vegas has talked to a lot of writers about what they voted.
Straight up, it's like one of those things where if I had Floyd Mayweather money, I'd be maxing out my Matthews bets. Like, this is where I just feel like a sap and a pour. Still, I'm like, yeah, the value is intense, but it's like you can still make money off it, you know, if you have the means. So, yeah, know your limit, play within it, all that stuff. But it's like, yeah, this is like it's got to be Matthews' award. If he's that heavily favored, I think that's telling you that the market knows. Like, what did he finish the end of the year at? I bet you it tilted so heavily from what he was like the last week or two of the season to what that number is today. That plays into Blake's theory. That's telling me that he's going to win this award. I'd be shocked if he didn't win. Like, truly, truly, truly shocked. Anyway, Blue Jays tonight back in action. White Sox, Jays. Kevin Gausman been shaky lately. We said it. His last five starts over his last month, he's got an ERA creeping up to around 5. Guy's been putting base runners on, like, nonstop. He's, you know, almost at a whip of 2 over those five starts. And again, granted, these ones have been a little different. He had the Twins one and the Baltimore one, and they've been really, really bad. He just talked about fatigue. Do you guys back Gausman here? Because I think it's a wait-and-see thing. The Jays are minus 130 faves. The White Sox are not exactly like the most inspiring team. Last night, Blake and I both also told you to play the over, which hit. Tonight, I got to say, I got zero confidence in this game. Like, there's just none of it that I want to bet. I don't want to be a part of this one.
Tell you what I'm most confident in tonight. It's not up yet, but the Andrew Vaughn over 1.5 total bases. Yeah. He had a single, double, and homer off Gausman last time they faced. He was a monster again last night. Mm-hmm. He is a soulless hitting machine. That guy just has dead eyes that lock in on the pitcher and he rakes. I am terrified. Like, there's nothing scarier an AL East team could do between now and the deadline than acquiring Andrew Vaughn at this point. But that line's not up yet. And the line for him to get a hit is way too long for Wake and Rake. So.
No, way too long. And it will definitely be over 1.5 bases. And yeah, this is something that I was joking with you guys about the first time the Jays played the White Sox, which is,
your boy.
Who is this guy? I've never heard of him, and he's the greatest player who's ever lived. Like, he's Mike
Trout.
Honestly,
he kind of looks like, you know, when Venom or Carnage, like, inhabit a body and they get, like, more jacked and more evil. He kind of looks like if that happened to you. If there was, like, a baseball Venom that took over and, like, your eyes go black and suddenly you're much bigger. That's the vibe he gives off.
Either way, I'm terrified of the guy. Every time he comes up, it just feels like he's an automatic hit. I actually like that as well. I like the over 1.5 bases for him. I think that, yeah, probably the first AB, he ends up roping a double. Like, that's how good he is. Okay, so it's a no confidence for me. Ailish, is there anything from this Blue Jays game that you like right now?
Yeah, I do like the over. I think it's confidence play for me. It's hit 7 of the last 8 games. for the Jays. I'm going to put, it's at 9 flat. I'm going to tease it down to over 8.5, and that's minus 129. That'll be my wake and rake. It's basically the only thing I really want to bet on this game. I feel like it'll be still high scoring. And put that in wake and rake for me, guys.
Sorry, what's your wake and rake? The over?
The Jays game, over 8.5, minus 129. Not a specific team over, just the full over for today's game.
Sweet.
Yeah.
JD, what do you got?
Full over. I got to say that it's been, like I said, it's been a very good trend. I do like the way the bats are right now, mm-hmm. and I just feel like, yeah, my only thing that I hate about this bet, Ailish, I won't lie, is that it's like I'm rooting for Gausman to turn it around. Like,
well, it could be just the Jays over.
No, I have a tough time seeing, you know, 9.5, like 10 runs outing from them. I don't want that push, but yeah.
Over is at 4.5 if you want to bet that, minus 113.
Yeah, so I have two bets tonight that I like. One is a higher confidence play, but I don't – there's the Rays haven't announced their starting pitcher yet, so I can't really go there. But Nestor Cortes is on the bump, and again, the Rays can't hit anything right now. They're dreadful. That being said, against left-handed pitching this year, the Rays are 649 OPS. Like, there's only two teams that hit worse than them. Somehow Miami against left-handed pitching is 542 OPS. So maybe over the last month. Like, again, I usually use last month's sample size to try to keep it within a bit of range and know kind of what the trend is. But for me, I'm going back to some old faithfuls. Sean Manea has bit me in the ass a couple of times. He's also won me some money this year. I don't particularly love him, but I just don't think the Padres can hit right now. I think Manny Machado's out, right? Like, he's not playing.
Called up C.J. Abrams because that ankle sprain's serious enough.
Yeah, and if you've been paying like even like a passing attention to the Padres, it's like here's their lineup: bum bum bumbity bum 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 Machado bum 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 Machado being amazing. Like, Machado's the entire heart of their team. Like, this is a team that like has on a regular basis. I think their best hitter now with him out of the lineup is like either Jake Cronenworth or Jurickson Profar. Like, it's not good. Like, it's really not good. So I'm gonna go under 3.5. It's plus money. For the first five, it's plus 100. For under 3.5 runs through the first five, it's a later game. You know I hate that, but I'll be full of wings and hopefully happiness from the Blue Jays hitting 10 home
You'll
runs.
You'll be asleep on the couch way before that game ends.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to a first five under Mets Astros over 4.5, 5-inning line. It's a number 2 offense against righties and the number 5 offense against righties. Jose Urquidy has been very shaky. Trevor Williams on the other side, he's a swing man coming out of the bullpen to make this start. Like the offensive environment there.
Yep. Mets are weird. Like, they score a bunch of runs and they've had pitchers get shutouts like all season long. I think they lead Major League Baseball with something stupid like 11 or 12 shutouts, but this is not the guy to do that. So, I will evaluate this based on where I have this in my power rankings of first five unders, and it is near the bottom. And so I think that's a pretty good sign for you.
Yeah, for the over, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, like, so we got White Sox, Jays over 8.5. Ailish thinks the bats continue to play up. Maybe some Kevin Gausman non-confidence. I've got Mets, Astros over 4.5, 5-inning line. Two of the top 5 offenses against right-handed pitching, against a swing man and a Jose Urquidy who's struggling. JD, you said a couple. Which one did you lock in?
No, I locked in Zach Gallen versus Sean Manea, who, again, Sean Manea has just been like, it's been a relationship I've had with him this year. Like, we have a relationship now. Like, and it has been up and down, but I'm rolling with him against this Arizona lineup. But I just, again, the main confidence is that through 5 innings, I don't trust this Padres offense without Manny Machado to touch Zach Gallen, who's probably one of the like more underrated players in baseball right now, given where he plays. And he's nasty. He's a
Your pick is Diamondbacks 5-inning line or the under 3.5
under 3.5 because it's plus 100. Yeah, so it's good value.
All right, so Oakland or San Diego, Arizona under 3.5 5-inning line, Toronto and the White Sox over 8.5, Mets and Astros over 4.5 5-inning line. That's your wake and rake for today, June 21st, presented by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. And that's it. I guess I'm saying goodbye. We'll talk to you guys. These guys will talk to you tomorrow. We'll see if I come back. Have a great Tuesday, guys. I'll talk to you at 2:00 later.